magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020. If you were tuned in yesterday, you may remember I was hoping and praying that Ken Welch could return. And thank you, God. Here you are, Ken. Thank you for coming back for some more.
Thank you for the invitation.
And with it being Testimony Tuesday, I want you to touch on some of your faith journey, some of the things that God has brought you through these many years. Yesterday, if you were tuned in, you heard that Ken had read the Bible 40 times from beginning to end, Genesis through Revelation. In fact, he's working on the 41st time, and he has a prayer ministry. He's been a part of the Singing Men of GNN from the very beginning, these 20, 21 years. And he's kept a journal of praying for some of the guys and praying for neighbors and family members and friends. So we might touch on that a little bit today. But also yesterday, as we were talking, Ken says, you know, Mark, God has put a message in my heart of late dealing with some of the concepts in Romans that God can cause all things to work together for good for those who know him, for those that love him, according to God's special plans and purposes. Maybe during a portion of the Testimony Tuesday, I can share some of that. And I said, oh, great. So we'll have material for you to come back. So here you are, Ken. Let me open up the program with a reading out of Romans chapter 8. And though we're going to talk maybe a little bit about Romans 8:28, which was one of our memorization Monday verses, but I'll set the context with some additional reading out of Romans. And for those of you that have really good ears, if you hear a bird chirping, or you won't quite hear my chickens clucking yet, they're not running free, but I already pointed out to Ken, we have the window open here. In the old days, a few years ago, when the chickens were full grown, they would run up to the window, they'd peck on it, and I'd give them some of those mealworms. Well, now we have 8 little chicks. And so they're not running free yet, but you might hear them. Did little chicks cluck? What did little chicks do? Chirp,
chirp, chirp,
chirp, tweet. So you might hear a tweet or two or some of the other many birds that we have out here at the country studio. But reading from Romans chapter 8, and I'll begin with verse 26 and probably read through verse 28. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And then this verse 8:28 that so many of you are familiar with, but this is some of the backstep of the importance of the Spirit working in our lives, the importance of the Spirit being part of the triune God, that God had a relationship because there was the Spirit and the Son. It's kind of that unique concept that love existed in our triune Godhead. Even though there's the mystery how there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is very active in this passage. And I think some of the remarks that Ken will make about the Holy Spirit and how we can be led by him, how the Holy Spirit can fill us as we've asked Jesus Christ into our lives. I don't know where you're going to go, Ken, but let me finish reading here.
Just keep going.
At least I digress. But Romans 8:28 says,
and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who loved God and those who are called according to his purpose.
Yeah, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him.
Given the last 70 days, that's pretty tough.
Who have been called according to his purposes. So, Ken, how about starting off with a little snapshot into your faith journey? Now, we did mention yesterday, and as a way of introduction, that you've read the Bible 40 times, but you live in Mahomet, Illinois.
I do.
With your beloved wife, Lou.
Yes.
We mentioned this yesterday. I think you said 46, soon to be 47 years.
Correct.
You have 3 children. Mm-hmm. And I think Kendall has, one of your sons has helped with the Singing Men. I think the sound or setup or has done a few different things. And you have 2 others, a daughter and a son?
That's correct. Kirkland is an executive. He lives in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hmm.
And Kristen is married to a pastor of the Covenant Evangelical Church in Northbrook, Illinois.
Okay, we didn't get time to mention this yesterday, but you've held a number of different positions. I know sometimes you go out to various dealerships, and you're kind of like a fill-in, and you travel all over and oversee dealerships.
Sure, my core competency is I'm very good with technical software. And so I made, frankly, most of my money selling math and physics software to the Department of Defense. But my whole life history, if you want to go around it, is the ability to market and the ability to operate and place these technical software pieces. And so if I go to a car dealership today, I sell a couple of pieces of software that help them run their business. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I'll go in and give somebody a chance for a vacation or a few days off, and just to prove that I still know how to do it. And then my primary consulting business is doing a cyber forensics, and that's very much a software-driven practice. So the last case I did had 5 million artifacts I had to look at, and I centered it down to one that happened on a particular day and convicted a guy.
And so, I know that while you were participating on Monday nights during our rehearsals, you had put in 2,000 hours of study and preparation for the testing. And
200, yes.
Okay, 200. I couldn't remember. 200, 2,000, but I know.
I probably should have done 2,000, but I got it done at 200.
But you've also been an entrepreneur. You've had other jobs. I know you have, with all your various emails, like the Ken Tech or something Tech, and different things that you've done over the years, and you've traveled and had your hands busy doing many things.
I'm part of the long-term unemployable in this country. I've actually never had a salary job.
Okay.
I had a few commission jobs starting out, but I've owned my own business really since 1977 on.
Okay.
I've walked in the shoes of a lot of these folks that are really struggling in this 70 days of shutdown.
Right, right. And that, I think we're going to touch on that, mm-hmm. because that's something the Lord has put on your heart. But what was your faith journey? Did you grow up in a Christian home?
My mother took me to church every Sunday. I actually grew up kitty corner from a large denominational church. And as a singer, I got invited to sing in just about every church during the summers. I went to Culver Military Academy, and so I was gone during the school year. But I would come home, and I would sing at every church. And I will tell you, Mark, that one of the things that marked my evangelical nature was I sincerely do not remember any of those churches preaching a sermon that said I had to have a personal relationship mm-hmm. with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I believed in God, but I used to say, I don't understand who this guy Jesus is. And so I finally was loved into the kingdom by a group of people at the First Nazarene Church in Champaign out on the west side, just by the way they lived and the messages that they were bringing. And I finally realized that I needed to make that personal commitment to Christ. That was right at 50 years ago.
Now, did you grow up in the greater Champaign-Urbana area?
No, my hometown is Pawnee, Illinois. My father honestly abandoned the family, and my mother moved to Taylorville, and I was away in high school for all that time. So I'm sort of a man without roots. I came up here in 1969. To study with a particular voice professor. He heard I was coming and retired.
Oh, jeez.
So I had made up my mind by that time I wasn't going to be a music professional. I wanted to get into business. So my degree is actually in economics.
And who was fundamental or foundational in the faith journey? The church, but was there anyone like discipling you, or did one day you said, wow, I need to make this commitment personal? Or God can be known in a personal way. So
I went to the altar on my knees at that church one April in about 1972 or 71, I guess it was. And so it really was 50 years ago.
Hmm.
And that just dramatically changed my life. My life really changed course at that point in time. I'm sort of walking proof that, you know, you just turn the other way.
Hmm. Now, I can do the math. 50 years ago, meeting and marrying Lou 40, almost 7 years ago. So you're a young man. You're beginning to learn that God has your best interest in mind, that he wants you to be a follower of his, a disciple of Jesus, if you will. What was the next steps in the faith journey? You didn't suddenly become sinless. What was the progression?
Oh no. I mean, it was sort of like getting up and running and tripping and falling down. And, mm-hmm. I certainly had my ups and downs through the years. You know, Lou's been a great stabilizing force in my life. And then when you have children, there's nothing you can do but pray.
Mm-hmm.
So, and frankly, I've been tempered in the business life because it's been kind of a struggle for a small Midwestern business person.
Yeah. You've read through the Bible, I think, 40 different years or 40 different times?
40 different times. I actually started in 1977 and read through it twice, and then I took a couple of years off. I'm frankly almost fudging on the 40. I know it's been at least 40,
yeah.
But it was my... when things were really dark and I was really struggling, I would get up an hour or two before Lou and the kids and spend that time with God on my couch praying and reading His Word. And frankly, I kind of wasted 4 or 5 years there after I was saved by not reading the instruction mm-hmm. manual.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's one way people look at the Bible. It's so important to know and understand and read because it's God's instruction manual. Some have called it God's love letter, mm-hmm. conveying truths that will equip us to live successfully or live with hope and live with grace and live with determination because we come to a realization that God loves us and cares for us. Now, do a little shout out or two for Lou, because you've been married these many years and we didn't get to feature how you fell in love or where did you two meet up?
Well, my mother had moved to Champaign by that time. I had a job and I had my own apartment, and I was helping her move into an apartment building in Urbana. And my mother was a musician. She had a piano. And the man who owned the apartment complex said, "Oh, you should meet the music teacher who lives upstairs."
Hmm.
So I would come over, I was working in the car business in those days, and we worked 6 and sometimes 7 days a week, but I would come over on the weekends and see if I couldn't get to see Lou or get to meet her, and that didn't work. So I'm sort of known as the king of the cold callers. My children think I have an aberrant gene. I wake up some mornings, I say, "Well, I'd like to meet 100 people I've never talked to before." So anyway, I used to be and still kind of am a pretty off-the-cuff kind of guy, and so... I would wait till 5:30 on Saturday night to try to get a date, and so I had a list of potentials, and so I just put Lou on that list, and so I basically cold called her, and mm-hmm. And she was played kind of hard to get. It took 3 phone calls.
Yes. And how much after that first initial date or outing did you get married?
Well, you have to understand, back in the day, now this was 50 years ago, Lou was 25 by then, and her brothers were definitely concerned that she was going to be an old maid.
Mm.
And so they started calling me.
Oh, jeez.
And they're, I'm not a small guy, but they're 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", somewhere in there. And so, I would get these phone calls. "Well, when are you marrying our sister?" So, it wasn't exactly a shotgun wedding, but it was,
No pressure.
No pressure. Yeah. It was sort of like, here's the baseball bat. What are you going to say?
So. And then what would you say is maybe your favorite or the way God's blessed you the most through Lou? Now, you alluded to the fact that she's not a calming influence, but maybe a balance or a rock or steadfast in her faith, which has assisted you. But what would be...
Yeah, calming influence, I think, is very good because, I get kind of emotional sometimes. I get going off like a misguided missile, and so she...
Like most men.
Yeah, really. And so, she's a good counterbalance. Why don't you slow down and think about that? What if this happens or this doesn't happen?
Yeah.
So, it's been... very good. So.
And that's one of the unique roles that so many of us husbands can say that our wives play, that bring in the balance or the insight or a perspective, or you might want to think that through, or where they're more maybe heartfelt on certain things or can discern, or with their radar, they see some things and they help us along. So thank you, God, for the many women that
yes.
have that role in our lives. Well, yesterday you were talking about, you gave 3 examples of the small business person, the single parent that maybe is unemployed, or somebody that's worked their whole life for many, many years, but now the business had to shut down or there's uncertainty because of this Corona-19 virus, and maybe they're shutting down or they're not going to be there. And so has God been revealing or bringing some thoughts to your mind that parallel with this Romans 8:28?
Well, yeah, I guess the first thing I would say is, we could go back to this whole section you read, and we could probably speak about that on 40 consecutive testimony Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. There's plenty. But I'd like to just emphasize on this called according to His purpose. As hard as this is on all of us in this time, there's almost always going to be somebody that's suffering more than we are. And our purpose is to advance the kingdom of God. That's what we're supposed to do. And so I like to keep the Great Commission in mind when these times of shaking and tribulation happen, because, you know, you may have somebody in your life as a Christian that you've been witnessing to or you want to witness to, and they've never been open to the message. Well, they might be open to the message today, because even if their lives are pretty solid, and they might even be still getting a salary, there's hysteria going on out here in our society. Mm-hmm. And God is not hysterical. God is God.
Right.
So I think that we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and go outside and say, okay, I need to be a friend to somebody today. And having experienced a few business losses down through the decades, occasionally I've had some of those, eight very bad days, the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad mm-hmm. days when business really went the other way. And what I experienced was I didn't have any friends anymore. I had to not only start my financial life over again, I had to go find a new group of people to hang out with, because poverty is one of those things that people just run away from. And I think if you need any assurance that this hasn't changed much, there are several proverbs you ought to look up, 14:20, 19:4, and 19:7. And these all speak of how a poor person has no friends, or their friends leave them. And so, you know, we want to be counter-cultural as Christians. And so we need to go find the hurting and the lost and come alongside them.
Right.
And so that's where the Spirit motivates you. I mean, He is motivating us to be like Him, because He is our paraclete. He's one who comes alongside. So if He does that for us, how can we do less than that for other people we see that really need the companionship?
Yeah, you mentioned calling that the Lord has on all of us to go and make disciples. Mm-hmm. That's not one of these that's only for some of you, or those of you that are gifted at being able to do that. It's like we're all called to go and make disciples, to involve ourselves in other people's lives, to proclaim that good news message of Jesus. And I'm reading a new book, and I can't think. It's Francis Chen, and it's upstairs. I just started it. But it's about we are called to make disciples. We are called to be involved in people's lives. And it's a calling that we all have. We all should be investing ourselves in others, and it's not optional. Go and make disciples.
If I may go back to where you asked me about someone who was instrumental in my salvation, I would say there was a guy that was an evangelist in a very small way. He found that out that I had been a singer, and I hadn't been singing any. And he says, well, why don't you come to choir practice with me? And so I went to choir practice with him, and this was a little family church, and the choir would sing, and I would make a beeline out the door before the sermon would start. And, you know, but eventually these folks just sort of loved me on in. But, you know, doing the job of an evangelist sometimes is, you know, no more complicated than that.
Right. Just that simple asking you to stay around or having a meal, breaking bread.
Just go have a cup of coffee.
Yeah. I think sometimes we make it much more complicated than it needs to be. It's just building a friendship, inviting the neighbor over, or you see him lifting something and you go over there and help him. There was a neighbor that we're just getting to know. He was cutting down a tree. And so I'll give you one quick little example. I just finished working all day in my yard. I showered. I was all cleaned up. My body was sore. I couldn't wait to get home. And Holly goes, you know, our neighbor across the street, he probably could use your help. And I said, Holly, I just got showered. I'm clean. And I thought, okay. And I went over there and helped with the ladder. Next thing you know, he had the chainsaw out, and I'm lifting stuff up. But I knew it was of God. Mm-hmm. And it's developing a friendship that, you know, we did some follow-up, and it's kind of neat. And I don't want to give too many specifics, but at this point he's from the Muslim faith. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to show, if you will, the fragrance of Christ, just loving on him, caring. He's a great neighbor, a great guy, and I really do appreciate him. But I think it can be as simple as just helping hold the ladder, or picking up some brush, or running an errand, or watching their kids. I think sometimes it's the simple things that God uses to make, maybe, if you will, a profound impact.
I agree.
Or an inroad. Well, Ken, we appreciate your time here in the home studio and being a part of yesterday's Memorization Monday. If you missed yesterday's program, along with today, it is archived. Yesterday we talked about Ephesians 5:20. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, Ken mentioned a little about Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who love God, who have been called according to His purposes. And maybe in the last minute or two, Ken, what does that mean, to love God and to be called according to His purposes?
Well, my life's verse is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given me the spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. So the power is through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He gives me the words to speak. He gives me the courage to go and do His work. I wasn't strong on the love side. I've had to develop a real heart for people, and that's kind of where my prayer list has come from. And then I have to have the self-discipline to make sure that I'm in step with the Lord.
Right, right. Walking in cadence with the Spirit's leading. I like to think of that as like, Lord, just carry me and lift me along. And if I start straying, you know, get me back in line. But to have that love for others because God loved us first. Mm-hmm. All right, everyone. Well, the gauntlet's being dropped. Learn to love. Extend that care, that compassion. These are hard times. I know a lot has been happening locally here and throughout many of our communities with the violence and with people trying to understand each other and feel like they're being heard. And so let's be those agents of the love of God and see how we can bring healing and hope to a hurting world. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Ken Welch with Great News Radio, a ministry of the Great News Media Group. God bless you and have a great day and night.
In myself, I feared the Lord, then was afraid to try once more. That fire in my soul had fled. That's when Jesus came and said,